professional wrestler and former Ring of Honor Pure Wrestling champion, Hurricane John Walters. And
what's going on, guys? This is Supermex Hernandez, a.k.a. Hot Stuff Hernandez.
What's up, guys? You're listening to Joel Jose Maximo, the SAT.
This is Shaheem Ali, and you're now listening to the ROH Review. Ooh, baby!
Hello, and welcome to the ROH Review, episode 25. I am free-time pro wrestling author Oliver Newman.
And I'm pro wrestling journalist Stephen Jackson.
And here we are with a special Sunday night edition of the ROH Review. Extenuating circumstances means that that is how this must be. So if the trusty ROH app adds some news from tomorrow onwards, we'll catch it next week. So yeah, with all that being said, how are you doing today, Stephen?
Yeah, pretty good. Been enjoying nice weather over the weekend. Still socially distancing myself from you, Oliver, and everyone else where we can. Yeah. But no, feeling good. It's been a good week. And looking forward to talking about the show tonight. How about yourself?
Yeah, absolutely. It's been a great weekend, in all honesty. Everything that I've wanted to do, catch up with friends, family, gaming, wrestling, this. I feel like I got a new lease of life. It's really cool. So, let's go into it, really.
Yeah. So, our first match tonight, as we've been doing, we have an opening match, a mid-card match, and a main event. And our opening match tonight is a Women of Honor match between Ring of Honor Dojo graduate Stella Gray against Ring of Honor, Women of Honor star Karen Q. And Diona Peruzza is on guest commentary with Ian Riccobani. So take it away, Oliver. What did you think of it?
Yeah, like you said, once again, we always talk about the views. 73,000 views doesn't lie, does it? No. So, you know, women's wrestling. Stella Gray's first ever ROH match. And it's just incredible. You know, she's just the thing that I like the most about this like Women of Honor and stuff is there were so few women at the end at the beginning of Ring of Honor, and now there are so many quality female wrestlers in the world. And I've always been an advocate of, you know, women's wrestling and stuff, and how they should be treated equal to the guys because they're as good, if not better, in certain instances. Yeah. So, just love it. In terms of the match, it's just a strong style kind of just wrestling match. I don't think there's anything that stands out, but there isn't anything that's wrong with it kind of thing. Yeah. It's just a really well put together match, and I love the Lion Tamer at the end, like really wrenched in. You know, without standing on the other person's head, I guess, or putting a knee on the neck and stuff like Jericho used to. So, yeah, that was a sweet finish to the match. Love Peruzza coming to the ring to congratulate both competitors. She congratulates Gray and Q walks off, and I want to see Peruzza versus Karen Q, so job done. And it was great to hear Peruzza on commentary. Lovely to hear a female wrestler's voice on male-dominated commentary usually. So all around, it's only the first match because of how good the other matches were, really. What did you think of it, Stephen?
I really enjoyed it. As you said, Karen Q Stella Gray, just to say she was 6 months in and this was the first match she had in front of a large crowd, I thought she was fantastic. You know, the Tajiri tarantula-esque submission she gave to Karen Q was on point. The strikes were great. The fact that she hung in there with Karen Q, who, as they were saying on commentary, is a respected, you know, well-versed female wrestler as well. She really took it to her.
Yeah.
And the fact that I think the
interesting thing, like you just said, with her being on commentary, Dion Apruso, was that it wasn't just a wrestler there just for commentary. There was actually a storyline element to this, as we saw at the end of the match, which is always something you want to be able to, you know, add into it, which added that extra depth and that extra layer.
Absolutely.
And the crowd were great as well. Crowd really behind this. They were, you know, wanting Stella to get the victory, but you know, as you said, that lion tamer which Karen Q got Stella in was vicious. You know, it was actually in my notes here. I put Karen Q awesome lion tamer because it was just fantastic.
Yeah. You
know? But this is another match which over delivered. You know.
Yeah.
And the views don't lie. 78,000 views was it? That's
73,000, yeah.
73, sorry.
Yeah. Absolutely. Just another quality Women of Honor match to add to our collection.
Yeah.
So congratulations to both ladies and Deonna Peruzzo as well. And Ian Riccoboni was fantastic on commentary as well. So
absolutely, a
fantastic segment all around, I think. They might feel a little bit disgruntled maybe to be the first match given how good the quality was, but it really is a quality show tonight. There you go.
Yeah.
So moving on to the news, we have the women's bracket of honor to go along with the men's. ROH Strong is a ROH podcast. That's debuting on Monday nights. And Kevin Eck is going to be with guest the villain, Marty Skrull. So that should be really interesting. And, of course, we have ROH Trivia Night, which we contemplated being a part of and then realised it was from midnight in the US and neither of us can do that. So,
sadly.
Yeah, what's your thoughts on this, Stephen?
Yeah, I think the quiz is a great idea. I think it's always fun for wrestling, companies and wrestlers themselves to be able to interact with the fans in new and innovative ways. And, you know, a whole quiz devoted to Ring of Honor is just up our street, you know, just a shame due to the time difference. We can't take part.
Yeah.
But I think it's a really fun initiative. I think it'll be interesting learning about which wrestlers are the most knowledgeable on Ring of Honor's history. I mean, it was a bit like when the WWE stars went on Weakest Link on YouTube. You should be able to find it. And it was Kane and Bully Ray, I think, in the final two or something. So
yeah,
it's always interesting finding those little tidbits out. And Women of Honor bracket's good fun as well. You know, it's really, especially as you just mentioned, with the amount of female wrestlers in the company now, it's exciting to see who will make it through the rounds. And original bracket of honor was fantastic with Brian Danielson coming out of the victor, so I'm excited for the female, the equivalent of it. And the Ring of Honor podcast just finally was I'm excited, slightly bemused, but excited though.
I wonder where they got that idea from.
Yeah, I wonder, Oliver. Yeah.
The mind boggles.
It does. But no, excited as well. It's always interesting getting first-hand perspectives on, you know, the industry and hearing people's thoughts, especially during this time of, you know, the COVID situation. And I like as well how Ring of Honor, I think we said this before, how they're not able to go out and wrestle the wrestlers, but they are doing things for the fans. It's not like they're just laying dormant and not being active. Mm-hmm. And it shows that they are being creative and trying new things, not just having empty arena matches, which I think is really good.
Mm-hmm.
Fan interaction. So,
Definitely.
So, next up is our mid-card match, which is the Future of Honor match. And it takes place between One Mean Team, which is number one, who is now the Mecca, Brian Johnson, and Justin Pusa. With Miss Jasmine, number one, against the team of Davey Vega and Matt Fitchett. And I know you've got a lot to say on this match, Oliver, so I'm going to let you roll with it.
Yeah.
What did you make of it?
Well, they jumped him at the bell. I always love the cheap start to a match. I think that's just brilliant. builds heat magnificently, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Like he leaped onto his partner's back and pulled off a beautiful Hurricanrana. That was sweet. Yeah. The lights went out mid-match. This is one of those where you just have to watch it, really. I'm just going to say, what a match. There's a reason why this has, you know, has moved Future of Honor from opening match to mid-card. Davey Vega and Matt Fidget, I think it is.
Yeah.
Yeah. Known each other since they were 5 years old, I think, from on commentary. Same gear, just high energy, explosive tag team wrestling. Brian Johnson is stunning Steve Austin. There's no doubt about it. You know, Miss Jasmine was great on the outside as well. This is just a top-notch Future of Honor match. Really, really enjoyed it. What did you think of it, Stephen?
I thought it was phenomenal. I thought it was absolutely phenomenal. I can't believe as well this has only got 2.4K views, if I'm correct. 2.9, was it?
2.9, yeah. Yeah,
2.9 yeah. views, which I get because maybe Future of Honor doesn't appeal to people as much, but I really want this match to be seen by so many people because it just blew me away. Absolutely.
There's a reason we do it as a segment every week, though, Stephen.
Yeah, absolutely. And all four of these guys and Miss Jasmine put on an absolute clinic in there. This was an absolutely wonderful tag team match. And, you know, the amount of athleticism, the speed, what they were working at, the crowd were just on fire for this thing.
Yeah.
J-Rock was on commentary again and gave great insight. I think he's a great commentator, actually, along with Joe Dombrowski. I thought they were a really good team together. And it just shows as well, in terms, we've covered a lot of Brian Johnson matches by chance, I think, on the podcast, but just
on
how,
purpose, really,
how versatile Brian,
there's a wing.
But just how versatile he is. He's just
a
star in the making.
Stunning Steve Austin part two as I can, really.
I know.
He's different level. He really
definitely.
Is.
And Davey Vega and Matt Fitchett, if they're not already signed to contracts with Ring of Honor or where they are, just please sign these guys because they're just on another level. And if anyone,
really,
and even if Ring of Honor don't sign them, exactly. If Ring of Honor don't sign them, you know, if any wrestling people are listening to this, check these guys out and sign them ASAP because they need to be given the opportunity. And also, the other nice thing I liked about this match was that it actually led into it said at the end of the match, it led into the match with the Briscoes in the main later on in the show for the World Tag Title. So there was added pressure and added sort of interest into getting this match won. It wasn't just a showcase, it was to progress.
Yeah.
So yeah, loved it. Just loved it. Watch it.
Yeah. So at this point, we'd like to just mention Broken But Glorious Wrestling Podcast Network's partnership with Powerslam.tv. I think Stephen mentioned it last week. Over 7,000 hours of professional wrestling, streaming service, and 180-plus promotions. I think once again Stephen said that.
Yeah.
You can use that wonderful streaming service on us for free for 1 month using the code BROKENFREE. And that leads us quite wonderfully into the show. The reason why we call it the ROH Review is because we review the ROH show. And this week, the star spotlight, wink, wink, falls on Matt Taven. And because this is one of Stephen's many favorite wrestlers, he wants to take this on solo. So over to you,
wow.
Stephen.
Yeah, so great to see a Matt Taven special. Great to see him as well after he was injured. And it was, you know, a really, really great episode of Ring of Honor television. Got to see a really insightful interview with him, starting from around 2016 when he spoke about his injury he received. And then we saw highlights to begin with against his former Kingdom partner, Adam Cole, which was a great match. I have seen it. It was a long time since I saw it, but it was a great match. But I've seen previous matches between the two, and they've always delivered. Mm-hmm. And then we saw him explaining his career from that point. So we saw him talking about the Dalton Castle match, sorry, at Final Battle 2018, which was interesting, mm-hmm. between the Kingdom and the boys, which was good. He talked about the G1 Supercard winning the world title in Madison Square Garden and how that felt, which was a feel-good moment for him. And I know a lot of fans disagreed with that decision, and there's nothing to, you know, but he followed his career as long as I have. He did deserve the title. It may not have been the best decision, but he did deserve the championship. And we also, before that, saw highlights of his match against Jay Lethal as well, the 60-minute draw, the 18th anniversary show, which the full match is actually available on Ring of Honor's YouTube. So that was really good to see highlights of that match.
Nice plug there, Stephen.
Yeah. So then from there, we went into the first match of the show, which was a Ring of Honor world title defense between reigning champion at the time, Matt Taven, against Overkill and Lifeblood member Mark Haskins. And this was, I thought, it was fantastic. Ian and Cole on commentary, beautiful commentary team, just feed off each other like no other team at the time, or still, I think. They're that good, you know. Definitely. Just over delivering everything, and the emotion they emit. The actual match was very much like we rewatched recently the Jonathan Gresham Alex Shelley match from Ring of Honor Television, which was on our first show, and it was very much a match of the knee against the arm, which I thought was quite interesting given the injuries that both men have suffered in their careers and things, mm-hmm. or the shoulder in the case of Mark Haskins. Loved how Taven was getting under the fans' skin, really gave them what for, and really kind of showed how much of a heel he is in that old school kind of heel way, carrying the belt like a champion, a heel champion, much like Ric Flair or the like. And the fans just wanted Mark Haskins to win. Everyone wanted Mark Haskins to win. It was his moment, his time. And then my old good friend Bully Ray decided to come along and kill the party, and then it was ruined. This amazing match was ruined by an interference from Bully Ray. And yeah, it didn't go down well with me. But that's a spoiler alert for everybody there as well.
One of the best things in this match, though, was the mention of FWA Academy by Colt Cabana. Yeah. That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Because Mark Sloan is one of the best wrestling trainers in the world, and he's highly underrated as a wrestler as well.
Absolutely. And also wrestled on Frontiers of Honor for back in the day, 2003, mm-hmm. Ring of Honor FWA joint show.
Yeah, and he wrestled Brian Danielson on one of the shows as well.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yes, he did, didn't he? Yeah,
it did.
Wow, a long time ago, that one.
And it was a cracker.
But no, this was great stuff, great match, and it, you know, delivered for me, and it delivered for the crowd. The crowd were really into it. And then from there, what I think was nice was this, what I loved was that these shows kind of have been a bit, they're focused on a lot of 2019, But this particular match took place last year, the year before, 2018. And I actually reviewed this match for my Ring of Honor article, one of my Ring of Honor articles I did for the Wrestling Estate. So it was great to revisit it and watch it again in another capacity of reviewing a match. So it was the main event of this week's show was between CMLL star Ultimo Guerrero, against The Kingdom. And at the time, world six-man tag team champion Matt Taven of The Kingdom, mm-hmm. and at the time, love this thing. Now again, love this thing. The crowd in the Hammerstein Ballroom in New York City were going nuts. The style of this match was, I love Lucha Libre wrestling. It's one of my passions. And this is the traditional Mexican Lucha Libre heavyweight style, not the cruiserweight style a lot of people are used to, in the sense of high flips, dives, Rey Mysterio, like psychosis stuff. This is a lot more slow paced, but heated, lots of sort of shenanigans. And it really delivered in that kind of style of match.
Yeah.
And the dynamic between Taven and Guerrero was very heated as well, because this feud had been going on for the past 2 years, and it kind of came to be in the Hammerstein. And again, Ian and Colt on commentary were just on fire. They just, you know, they were with it the entire step of the way. And the Kingdom unfortunately came in and got the shenanigans in there to get the victory for Matt Taven. But I think what I liked about this match the most, and he actually said it before this match, so kind of scooting back a little bit, he said that this match was the reason why he feels the executives of Ring of Honor finally saw him as a viable contender for the Ring of Honor World Championship, which I think he'd missed out on for a long time. And he really paid his dues down in Mexico. He really got his personality down in CMLL.
Yeah.
And he really was able to become himself, I think, after a long time of being a mid-carder. And
okay.
I thought it was just wonderful. One of those matches you need to see. And I will say one more thing, is that a lot of people were very critical of Ring of Honor fans at the time and said the atmospheres were not of earlier shows, like the earlier Ring of Honor crowds. But this crowd were with this thing from start to finish, and they were knowledgeable, they were respectful, they were excited, they were just into it. And what happened post-match, so we had a speech from Matt Taven post-match of this particular match, but then after the actual show, we had a promo from Vincent, who was actually saying negative things towards Matt Taven leading into their feud, which will take place in 2020, which fed into the fed into the Kingdom disillusionment of Final Battle and going into 2020. So it actually led into a storyline that's going ahead as well. So a great episode of Ring of Honor television. Matt Taven's a guy who a lot of people are unsure of as a wrestler and as an individual. I am a huge fan of his from watching his career begin in Ring of Honor and seeing him progress and grow. And these are two matches which I think show how he's progressed to that main event caliber and what he does bring to the company. So definitely go out and watch it, because the Mark Haskins match is a great world title match, and the main event with Ultimo Guerrero is probably the best Lucha Libre heavyweight match I've seen in North America, probably of that style, which is big, which is big to say, but I think if you understand the style and the dynamics of the booking, it does lead into that kind of thing. So yeah, so that's my finish to that whole very long star spotlight on Matt Taven this week.
Yeah, absolutely.
So there we go.
And yeah, then we go on to my books. As I mentioned at the top of the show, I'm a three-time pro wrestling author. My first book is a book on British wrestling with ROH mentioned. It's called The Fan's Perspective, One Man's Exploration of British Wrestling. And here's the synopsis really quickly. In the early years of the new millennium, the three men led the charge in British wrestling: Wonder Kid Johnny Storm, Doug Williams, and the Phoenix Jody Fleisch. This book is the story of my first hearing about British wrestling being talked about on British radio via TalkSport in 2001, all the way through to the first few months, 2007, of my almost 2 year quest to prove British wrestling was as good as its counterparts in the United States, Japan, Mexico, and beyond. And in this book, we have ROH Unified, So Brian Danielson versus Nigel McGuinness is covered. I was at the same hotel as the ROH wrestlers in 2007 as well. So that's covered in the book. And I was at the ROH double shot in Liverpool. And that's covered in the book. So look out for Jimmy Ray versus Nigel McGuinness, Fight Without Honor. It's an absolutely breathtaking match. Next up, I'm always hesitant to talk about this book and the ROH review. Bloopers.
Bloopers.
Yeah. So this is Fans Perspective 2016, what a year to be a fan of WWE. And for the blurb again, 2016 was a truly great year to be a fan of World Wrestling Entertainment. Please don't switch off the ROH review. Join me as I take you on a journey through every pay-per-view, Raw, SmackDown Live, NXT TakeOver, and WWE Network Special. Read my alternative WrestleMania 32 booking, plus my thoughts and insights on all of the 2016's major matches, segments, storylines, and news stories throughout this historical and groundbreaking time. Why should you buy this book? Well, if you want to know how AJ Styles debuted in WWE, you want to see what Samoa Joe was doing in 2016. Basically ROH alumni showing that there's blueprints all over the wrestling world. And my last book, A Fan's Perspective, How My Lifelong Dream Became a Nightmare. Blurb again, 2008 was a historical year in professional wrestling. Chris Jericho and Shawn Michaels contested one of, if not the best pro wrestling feud of all time. And that's saying something. I continued writing and reporting on the UK scene. My lifelong dream attending a WrestleMania, WrestleMania 24 Live, came true. And I met my childhood hero, Bret the Hitman Hart. 2008 is also the year WWE could have catapulted Paul London, my modern day favorite wrestler, to the main event. Mm-hmm. They didn't, so I fantasy booked him there. 2008 also had some great matches. I share my thoughts on some of the best. Lastly, 2008 was a big year in terms of the women's wrestling evolution we're living through. I explain how we have got here. And as a special bonus, I share my thoughts on the beginning of 2009. So that's basically the book. So hopefully you enjoy that. And yeah, all three books are available on paperback and Kindle, on Amazon, free on Kindle Unlimited. You can get them signed by me on my Big Cartel, fansperspective.bigcartel.com. You can also get them in store at Pro Wrestling Cartel in Birmingham, England. But unfortunately, because of coronavirus, it's not open right now. So, please, you know, support me and support the review. And much like Stephen has, he owns two out of the three books and he's going to buy the third one at some point, aren't you, Stephen?
I am, absolutely.
Yeah, put him on the spot.
Has to be done.
Yeah. So that brings us nicely into our main event of the evening. And because I haven't got to ring announce the other two matches, I'm taking this one, whether you like it or not, Steve.
Absolutely. Take it away, Oliver.
So this is a tag team match, and it is between Austin Aries and Jack Evans of the Generation Next. There we go.
Yes.
Against the phenomenal AJ Styles and his tag team partner, a member of Generation Next, Matt Sydal. So from this match going in, 11,000 views, which is a little bit low considering the quality on show. This is Styles versus Aries, Sydal versus Evans in terms of two dream matches in a tag match. Love the crucifix bomb, one of the best moves I've ever seen in the wrestling ring. Matt Sydal suffers a broken nose because of one of Jack Evans' kicks. Jack Evans' Suzuki special ends up in a Styles clash on the floor, which was incredible. And then Matt Sydal shooting star press finishes what is a fantastic match. And personally, I don't want to give you every detail of this match because this is one for the ages, and yeah, it's one to just go sit back and enjoy. You know, it led to Styles versus Aries. I'd love it to, and you're the ROH expert, Stephen. So did it lead to Sydal versus Jack Evans as well?
I don't think it did, actually, because I think Evans kind of was near the end of his Ring of Honor run at this point.
So what did you make of this match, Stephen?
Loved this. This took place at Supercard of Honor, which was the same show we saw Drew do Fixer against Blood Generation.
So
to tell you how good that match was, what we saw, this, you know, that shows how important, you know, that match was and how it overshadowed this one. Styles and Aries were just on another, the crowd were just dual chanting it.
I think Austin Aries was on a different level in 2006.
Absolutely. He was at his peak probably before he went back to TNA in about 2011 and won the world title. That's the Austin Aries who, and possibly like 2016 when he won the, 2018 when he won the Ring of Honor, the Impact Championship again. That kind of Aries. He gave a very vicious kick to Matt Sydal early on, which took Matt Sydal to the floor, which I don't know was genuine or not. It was stiff. I know that. A stinger. And Aries and Styles just meshed perfectly. I mean, the stuff they were doing was incredible. Jack Evans just got Matt Sydal hit him with the springboard cartwheel kick to the back of the head, from what I remember, which was nasty. And Jack Evans just bumped like nobody else. It was just like unreal, the stuff he was doing. Yeah. Like, just crazy athletic.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just one of those matches where all four of these guys just left it all in the ring. Pure action. It started as a traditional tag match, but descended into a four-way sort of, you know, fray, if you want to put it that way. Mm-hmm. And it was, you know, Generation Next exploding. So it had historical connotations for them as a stable.
Yep.
And it just over-delivered, you know. I mean, it delivered, but even more so than what I think we expected. Mm-hmm. And Matt Sydal, this is the start probably of Matt Sydal being seen by WWE, because I know that Ring of Honor were being watched by executives at that point, and I think this was when they kind of put their gaze on him and thought, this guy is something special. And then from this point onwards, he grew. And yeah, I remembered one thing from this match, and it was the Sasuke special into the Styles Clash. I don't think when you've seen that, you don't forget it.
No.
And yeah. Incredible move.
Yeah.
But watch this. Enjoy it. Like all the matches we talk about.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if we've ever actually mentioned Oliver ever. I was thinking about this over there on the show, but all the matches we speak about on the show are all free on YouTube, and we add them to our YouTube channel, and they're all in individual playlists.
That's good to tell the people about.
Yeah. So they're all there to be seen and enjoyed. And if you have any recommendations as well, then let us know. We'll mention that later on.
Absolutely.
So, leading into my advertisement, in the commas, if you want to put it that way, being a pro wrestling journalist, I write extensively and contribute extensively to the Wrestling Estate. You can find us on Twitter, @TheWrestlingEST, where I cover predominantly Ring of Honor, but I've also written articles on Lucha Libre, on Jushin Thunder Liger, his retirement, and my most recent article is an interview with New Zealand-born wrestler Will Power.
Mm-hmm.
But including my work, we cover things on WWE, Impact Wrestling, New Japan, the independent scene, and each week we all take part in a weekly roundtable where we cover a different topic and answer questions based around it. So come and check us out at The Wrestling Estate, @TheWrestlingEST.
Superb. And yeah, just to finish off, we just want to give a huge thanks to our hosts, Broken But Glorious Wrestling Podcast Network. Thank you guys so much for hosting the ROH Review since November 2019. We wouldn't have grown without you. I found out recently that they pay for SoundCloud and the website, so we'd like people to chip in if at all possible. If you'd like to donate, go to paypal.me/bbgwpod. For their Twitter, it is at bbgwrestling. For the website, it's bbgwrestling.com. For our Twitter, we are at ROHReview on Twitter, at ROHReview on Instagram, at ROHReview 2019, because that's when we were established, on Facebook. The YouTube channels, one of those things we've got to put in the description. Our email, exactly. Our email is ROHReview@outlook.com. We'd like to say a huge thanks to Chris from ROH World for giving us the opportunity to broaden our horizons with ROH World and PW Ponderings. And a huge thanks to Bob McGee at Pro Wrestling Between the Sheets for sending out our press releases lately. It's all helping the ROH Review grow, and we've hit the 17,000 listeners mark, which is absolutely incredible. So, yeah, we're truly humbled, me and Steve, and this is two guys who, you know, was part of a couple of ROH specials to then, you know, I said with the UK TV deal, let's do something ROH related 6 months and a week down the line. It's been an absolutely incredible ride, and it's a journey, and long may it continue. Right now, because it's 10 o'clock at night on Sunday, the 26th of April, the final part with Shaheem Ali is playing on YouTube, so we're speaking to you from the past in the future. Hope you enjoy that interview, because it was really good, and I mentioned it in a sneak peek video on Periscope that just didn't send. So a huge thank you to Shaheem Ali for speaking so openly, bravely, courageously about mental health. When a sports star does it, it really shines a spotlight on it. And as a mental health advocate myself, it's very important to speak out. So hopefully during these times, you know, you're picking up the phone, you're leaving voice notes, you are video calling people if you're struggling. It's very important to do that, and I'm sure Stephen, you feel the same.
Absolutely, I'm a complete advocate of mental health. You know, sort of awareness. Very brave of Shaheem to talk about his experience and so openly with us. You know, in an interview, which definitely gave it a different, you know, take, but it really was insightful and honest. And as you mentioned, I think, you know, we are going through tough times at the moment. I know a lot of people are currently isolated in their homes and, you know, are not able to get out. And, you know, what we want is for people, what we love doing this podcast. It's an absolute pleasure to be able to bring this to everybody. We are thankful for everyone who likes us, tweets us, shares us, and we're just going to carry on doing it. You know, we just love being able to talk about the company, which helps us escape for a couple of hours every week and just enjoy what the company are doing, you know. Mm-hmm. And I want to send special thanks out to Ring of Honor for keeping us entertained, for keeping all their staff safe and all their personnel safe, and coming up with ways to keep us fans. That, you know, it means a lot to us, this company, and that's why we're carrying on doing what we're doing. You know, whether it be the past, whether it be now or the future, we want to cover as much as we can to help everyone enjoy Ring of Honor, and through these tough times especially. So yeah, absolutely, Oliver.
Absolutely. And, you know, hats off to Ring of Honor for paying their wrestling stars during this tough time as well.
Yeah.
Other promotions didn't quite do that. But you know, so just that really. I was going to go into which stars you'd like to see in ROH, but I don't think we're prepared for that. Maybe next week.
No.
So yeah, not sure about the status of an interview for this coming weekend. So next Saturday and Sunday, just you know, leave that one with us. Sorry, because things are changing on a daily basis. But you'll definitely have the ROH review sent out on Monday, even though we've recorded it on Sunday. Probably the same next week for ROH review episode 26. And hopefully an interview goes out next weekend. And, you know, who knows, maybe me and Steven will do something ROH review related during the week. Depends how...
Yeah.
How bored we get with this social isolation, social distancing, isolation, lockdown kind of thing. But yeah, just in closing, everyone keep yourself safe and well. Check in on family members and neighbors, and keep yourselves well. And, you know, just in signing off, I am 3-time pro wrestling author Oliver Newman.
I'm pro wrestling journalist Stephen Jackson.
And we will see you all soon.
We will.
Bye for now, everyone.
Bye, everyone.
Bye.
Bye.